to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Sal here with heel producer Jim Cunningham. This is a Tuesday afternoon we're doing this. And it's not just me and Jim. It's my gurus of gambling, my wizards of waging, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, you guys, I'm going to count this as a win. All three of you picked winners last week. Now, it gets a little sketchy. This is a Harry move, Bri, but you had your best bet last week was Tampa, Carolina.
48.5.
Over 48.5,
right? 8.5, yep.
And it went down at a game. Look at Harry clutching his microphone. He's ready to jump in here. He's ready. Can't wait. It went down to what? 47?
It's funny because like right after I did, I don't know if it was because the afternoon or early that we did it Tuesday, it shot down. So I did a bad job there, obviously, because it shot down to, I thought it would go up. It went down. It was like 47.5. It went down to 47. I think game time, it went back to 47.5. So I got it at 47.5. So I lucked out there.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We're not gonna take. Go ahead, Harry. I know you've taken abuse over this over the years.
just saying, if it was me, that would definitely, we didn't even be talking about this.
Oh yeah, now. That's exactly right. That's, we would have said lost. 2-1.
No doubt.
We would have moved on. Sure. It would have been 2-1. Sure. But you won. The Parlay Kid won, and the Parlay Kid won big. This is a legendary Against All Odds pick. Bryson DeChambeau. We all took golfers for the U.S. Open, and there's the Parlay Kid. God bless him. On a Sunday afternoon, there's a bunch of football going on, and he's watching to make sure Bryson finishes off Matthew Wolf, and he did in stunning fashion. The only one, was he the only one to shoot under par in the whole tournament?
The only one, Sal.
Good for you. 28-1. I think you gave it out as, you can find it 20-25-1, wherever it was. Is a big, big winner.
Yeah, we gave it out. We gave it out at 28-1 on FanDuel, Sal. Mm,
beautiful.
So, you know, as Jim Cunningham likes to say, it was the Parlay Kid doing Parlay Kid things.
Yes.
Right, Jim?
Sure.
Jim doesn't like to say anything. He really doesn't like to say a thing. Jim will remind us, for you listeners on The Ringer who have not subscribed to Against All Odds on the Extra Points Podcast Network, we're going to cut this short very soon, in like 2 minutes. You get the first 5 minutes for free, and then you have to hear the rest, you have to subscribe to the, what is it, Jim? The blue version of Against All Odds, found on wherever you listen to podcasts, but appearing on the Extra Points Podcast Network, correct?
Exactly.
Yes.
If you're on the green one, you're on the wrong one.
Yeah, the green one's the wrong one. That's for losers and fakers right there. But what's interesting is happening is half the people who listened last week just listened for the 5 minutes and didn't resubscribe. They were like, that's all. I guess we have to time this better, Jim. I think we're cutting out like right when Harry's giving his NASCAR woes and everything, and people are like, I've heard enough, right? But so I don't know.
5 minutes seems like this.
Yeah,
seems good.
All right, we'll time that out better. Five is plenty. Okay. Subscribe, join, do all those things, rate us well on Against All Odds, the blue version. Resubscribe, please. Now, everything's not all rainbows and Skittles in the wagering world with these guys. In fact, who wants to hear about everybody winning the Bryson DeChambeau's? That's nice. And Brother Bryce came through, kind of. But what we want to hear is something that we like to call bet aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right. Well, you know, not too many bet aches, I don't think. From what I gather, our conversations between the U.S. Open, the golf betting, I know the Brother Bri hit on the matchups, and then UFC was kind to you guys, and every single NFL favorite won except the Eagles, and they were barely a favorite. So for guys like us who moneyline parlay and tease the crap out of games, it was a good week. But Harry, you still found a bet ache. You dug deep, and let's hear it. Air your grievance.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, past couple weeks, it's been a brutal stretch of like bad losses, terrible losses. 50-50 games that could go either way down the stretch, loss for me and the parlay kid.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, if I send you guys plenty of text messages, there's no doubt about that. Parlay kid whines to me plenty too. So he comes to me and tells me that, you know what, I'm taking a week off. Whoa. So my bet ache is the parlay kid, because he told me he's taking a week off, and I told him, you know what, Parlay Kid, I'm joining you. I'm going to take a week off. Let's refresh after a week. And then before I know it, he's got what he's got on Bryson DeChambeau, and even on my show, Best Bet Corner, he gave out DeChambeau, as did I, but I didn't play it because I thought he wasn't betting all week, and I was jumping on with him.
What kind of lunatic arrangement is this, that where we finally get sports back? We're in a pandemic for many months without sports, and now you're like, I'm taking weeks off? Shame on you, right, Brian? Shame on both.
Really, really wimpy move. It's funny because I saw that text, and I'm like, they were dead serious. They're like, they weren't gonna bet this week because they got killed so badly. But then I knew Parlay Kid was betting, but I didn't hear anything from Harry about winning, losing. So I was wondering what was happening.
Parlay Kid, how TPK. Much? I don't know if we ever would have heard from you again if you didn't bet DeChambeau after giving it out all over the place, right? You had to bet it.
I had to bet it. Listen, this is true. I did have this conversation on Sunday night, like at 1 a.m. with Harry, when I called him after a terrible Sunday last week. And I said, Harry, I can't bet. I got to take a few. I'm not sure if I said a full week, because of course I was going to bet football.
Yeah.
And then, so I said, I'm going to take a few days off, at least a few days off. I got to get away. But then we had the podcast, last Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
I gave DeChambeau, and unlike Harry, who gives picks and doesn't bet on his own picks,
right?
The Parlay Kid bets on his picks. I had to ride with DeChambeau, and I nail it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there were some people on Twitter who were like, come on, DeChambeau's not winning this. And you know what?
The
guy
great.
Wins by six strokes.
Oh, he was great.
I do, you know, maybe that, was that the pick of the 3.5 years, best pick, right?
I don't know. Only brother Brian can remember
28
this.
28-1. Who's hit it 28 to 1?
28 to 1. Yeah, that's probably
And
the
here's
best,
the
yeah.
thing. Here's what I
think
I love
maybe
about
a parlay,
is,
one of us might
I can go
up.
28 yeah. weeks now of losses, and
that's
can't
true.
Really say too much.
And
you know?
Watch him. He will. He'll do it, too. but, Harry, shame on you. The Parlay Kid did the right thing, even though you had an agreement. He bet the week. This is like winning the golden ticket to Willy Wonka's factory and then deciding you don't like chocolate anymore, and god damn it, we know you like chocolate. I mean, this is crazy.
I'm off chocolate now.
All right,
anyways, you know, listen, at by Saturday I couldn't bet DeChambeau. He was 2-1, so I backed off, and then after I knew he bet, so then I bet Sunday football, but that was it.
All right,
that
was it. Well, listen, I don't know, maybe there's an appropriate punishment out there for Harry for not betting. Hit us up at CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. That's CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com if you have a punishment in mind for Harry. The punishment could be he can't gamble for the week, but he's obviously okay with that. So I don't know. We have to dig deep here. Brother Brian, what is your betting?
So I had two. So I the Bucks-Panthers game, I can't necessarily complain about that because I did have over 47,
right.
47 and a half. But I did have the Panthers in that game to finish off. I think it was a 9-1 parlay to finish off. I had the Panthers plus 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Down 7 with 1:55 left. They kicked the onsides. At that point, you think it's pretty much first down and the game is over. Fournette scores on the first play to go up 14. Carolina then has a chance to come down and cover and also to go over that 48.5. For whatever reason, they threw the fullback. He stayed in bounds. He could have got out of bounds with about 2 or 3 seconds left. Stayed in bounds. Clock ran out. They could have been on the 5 with the chance to go into
one more play
to cover
at least.
That as well.
Yeah.
So that was bad. And then I also had... I had Washington plus 14 to finish off a large teaser as well, and they were down 12. And yeah. I wanted to get your take on this, you guys, because so Arizona's marches down the field. They pretty much waste the whole fourth quarter. It's inside the 2-minute warning. Washington has all their timeouts left, but Arizona's just running the ball on them. Washington's not calling timeout at all. They're just basically surrendering the game at that point. There's 30 seconds left. It's 4th and 2. Usually I see teams at that point in time just go for it, just run the ball, you try and get the first down and just turn it over because they're still up 2 scores.
Mm-hmm.
They kick the field goal, they go up 15, I lose my bet. I was kind of going a little, that was the one I was kind of going a little crazy on, but I don't know. I mean, normally I wouldn't get mad at something like that. I just thought the fact that Rivera wasn't using his timeout. So he was basically like, the game's over and then you're still scoring.
I forget. How much were they down? What were they down? 15?
They were down. They were down 12.
I see. So you needed.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was weird because they had three timeouts. They didn't use any of them and they just let them run the clock.
Yeah. If I'm Kingsbury, I'm like, oh man, there's a really good chance we meet the Washington team and Rivera in the playoffs. I don't want this to bite me in the ass. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. There is no, we've seen every version of anything you can see inside the 10 with fourth and two, field goal, going for it, kneeling down. And I guess we haven't seen a punt. That's the only thing we haven't seen. But yeah, that's tricky every week. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Like Brian said, if they're not calling timeout and they're conceding the game, Kingsbury has to do it on the flip side too and just run the ball, kill, you know, and cause obviously if they weren't calling timeout, they're not going to be passing the ball with a minute to go down 12 either, probably deep in their own end zone, knowing that they couldn't get any offense going in the first place.
It's not Big 12 football though. This isn't. I don't know. It's not in his DNA. All right, Parlay Kid, what about you? What's your bet ache? Can't be too much after cashing the 28 to 1.
I mean, you know, the biggest bet ache I probably had was, you know, I couldn't count all the money I won this week. That's probably the biggest bet ache.
Oh.
But by the way, I just found the text exchange. Yeah. This is the text exchange between me and Harry at about 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I actually called him too.
Eastern or Pacific?
This is, Eastern. Okay. And it says, I said, Harry, it was Monday morning now. It's a terrible week for me. Just terrible. I got to take the week off. And Harry says, me too. I hit shit. Okay. So I honestly, there was no agreement there, right? I mean,
you said you have to take the week off.
I think technically your DeChambeau bet doesn't pay off until Sunday late afternoon.
Thank you. There you go.
It's the most part of the week. It's 95% of the week you took off. I know you bet other stuff too, Parlay Kid. It's okay.
but so other than that, I really hit everything. I did have a few prop bets that player prop bets that came back and didn't work out for me. And they should have hit. Like Brady was over 1.5 touchdowns. He throws one early.
Mm-hmm.
Then McCoy drops one in the end zone. If you guys remember that late in the game, wide open, drops it. I had McCaffrey over 62.5 yards. He got to 59 and then was out the whole fourth quarter. So those were two of my ones that, hurt me a little bit. But
it's so funny.
When you had a good weekend.
Screw off.
Those sting a little bit less.
Yeah, you're counting your money. Who cares about these player props?
Screw off, TPK.
Yeah, Bri, it's weird. We talk about going into the season betting unders on these player props, these season props. We never really think about it for the individual games, right? Shouldn't it make sense that these guys have just a good, especially now with everybody getting hurt.
Yep.
My God, why wouldn't we go under on a lot of these individual player props? It's a weird thing between Anthony Davis, just like NBA pulling guys in the third and fourth quarter with a big lead is too much to handicap betting the over in these player props, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to. It's so many to look at. I feel like I have to do a little bit of research on that. But I think you're right. If you take them all, I think 60%. It seems like 50 to 60% of them are going to go under. But I have found. Some of these player props have been pretty low, like that McCaffrey one of 62 yards. I know he didn't have a lot of yards last year against Tampa, but some of those are low. Some receiving ones, Waller last night was 50 yards. I got him at that. That seemed low to me. So I don't know. It's you always want to take the under, and then you're like, shit, I got it. It's the same with the season props.
Did you just say that like a quarterback rushing yard, some of these guys like Murray and Prescott and Wilson, like they seem to go over the rushing yards?
Yeah, those have been the better ones for me, right? Because it's like Murray was 30 yards, Prescott was, I don't know, 20 yards, Wilson was 21 yards. Those guys, some of those guys had it by the first quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I got killed with. I had a big one on Fox Bet Live. They let you parlay these together. I had like 7 quarterbacks, and 6 of them had thrown for a touchdown. I just needed Wentz. And by the way, I love rooting against that guy, except when I need him to throw one freaking touchdown. He's by the goal line four times. He runs one in. What's worse than that? He runs one in, can't throw one, then gets picked in the end zone. Glad they lost, but for God's sakes, that cost me big money. All right. Well, that's a bet aches. Play the music.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
You know what, guys? Hopefully a time will come where we could all get together and not have to do that segment anymore. There are no bet aches. We just win like the Parlay Kid, and then just have to, you know, we're not reading texts about losing ways or everything. We could just forego the bet aches and just get to giving out more winners. Speaking of more winners, you go to extrapoints.com, and these guys are giving out free picks every single day. Harry texted me to the side, a brag text. He's 29-11 in his last 40. Now, Harry does something special. He offers up a video that Jim Cunningham has to post each and every night, oftentimes very late at night. And Jim, you're not a big fan of this part of the job, right?
No, I don't think anybody would like it.
Well, tell us what your problems are with
go ahead, Jim.
I don't know. It's just not my thing.
No, you say he records it the wrong way. He's got it on portrait.
He's usually sideways. He likes to be in front of rushing water or a hot tub or something. That sounds great. And it's just aggravating.
I think it's just more if I forget and you remind me and it's like 10 o'clock Pacific and I say sorry, but then you just send me the emoji of a middle finger anyway. So that's always good.
Jim, why are you even reminding him? If you could get an early rest.
I'm nice.
You're nice. Yeah. Well, let me. So he's 29-11, but Jim pointed out.
11.
But it's oftentimes in a hot tub. He's topless, sleeping. Like, if you want to cash in on Harry's bet, it's going to hurt a little bit. You got to watch this. It's not pretty.
You got to pay a little bit.
You got to pay, play, or watch with your eyes closed, or listen. Just try to listen to it and like scribble down what he's saying.
Sal, what was it last week on Thursday? Though he sends us his picks, right, and he sends us a pick for like a 7:55 matchup in golf.
Oh yeah,
and I say Harry, you're at like a 7:55 matchup. That Wolf one. He doesn't respond to it, still posts it. It's up there. I'm like, Harry,
you got to give me some slack on that one. That was when I had my colonoscopy and endoscopy. Give me a break.
Yeah, but he still told
you. Had a rough day that day.
Jim Cunningham, probably. What time was that posted, that Wednesday night pick from Harry?
I have no idea. Probably like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Was it that late? Was it like two or three in the morning?
I don't remember. I don't read them. I don't watch them. I just put them up. As long as it's not sideways.
Oh, you watch them. Don't give me that
shit.
No, I don't. You watch.
Yeah, every once in a while, Harry, you'll ask me something funny, and I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out if that's...
here for that.
If that was posted at 3 a.m., you're saying Pacific time, that's 6 a.m. Eastern, how many people in America, we'll open it up to the world, actually were able to... basically take advantage of that pick.
Zero out of zero.
Well, guess what? Guess what, though?
Yeah.
That was one of my 11 losers out of 40 picks.
All right. Well, that's good. That's
Harry,
good.
Are you 29-11 since we started this?
No, more, but 29-11 the last 40.
Yeah, because Brian, we've done over 50, right? We're on 51 now.
This guy's
29-11 TPK.
God bless him.
That's what you say. I'm still not buying.
All right. Well, anyway, those are at extrapoints.com. You guys win too. I think you win most days of the week. They've been doing this, I think, since July 27th. Now, let's look at the MVP awards. Now, we did this, Brian. We went over this September 1st. This is now...
Yep.
The 22nd or 23rd. So 3 weeks have passed. Maybe doesn't seem like a lot, but we went over our MVP picks. Right now on FanDuel, Russell Westbrook. It's not Russell Westbrook. Don't look for Russell Westbrook to win the MVP in the NFL because he's not going to do it.
He can't pass at all.
Russell, that's exactly right. There you go, Eric. Russ Wilson plus 270 is the odds on favorite. Lamar Jackson, the incumbent, 5-1. Patrick Mahomes, 5-1. Rodgers, 11-1. Kyler Murray 13-1 and Dak Prescott 15-1. Brother Brian, here's what I'll say about this. I think the winner of Lamar and Mahomes jumps is the front runner there to win. Now, I know Russ has had some big games. He's plus 270, but this is all like exposure. That's what this is about. And if that game is as good as we all think, Lamar against Mahomes and the winning quarterback has decent stats, I think that's your MVP front runner. Now, I had Lamar going into the season at 6-1. That seemed too high for a guy who had won and gotten a ton of votes last year. We'll get to that game in a bit. But again, this is it's all about primetime games. KC, after this one, they have the Patriots. That's not a primetime game. But exposure-wise, primetime at the Bills, primetime at the Raiders, primetime at the Broncos, Baltimore, primetime at the Pats, primetime versus the Cowboys, and at the Browns. They have two versus the Steelers. Actually, one of them is primetime against the Steelers. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of eyeballs. That's not waking up at 6 a.m. and seeing a golf prop online. That's seeing them on a big stage. And that's why I think take Lamar or Mahomes and Mahomes both at 5-1. I think you win. Brother Bri, you like Lamar, right?
So I bet Lamar and Mahomes the beginning of the year. I actually bet Murray too, but I do agree with you. I think the winner of Monday night is going to be the front runner here. It's going to be hard to pass that. If you lose this game, it's going to be hard to pass that guy unless you just never lose the rest of the year. But I just think Russell's awesome. Top three quarterback the last 3 or 4 years. I just don't know. Like, we saw the same thing last year with Russell, right? Can he sustain like these? The numbers are even crazier this year, but can he sustain this once they start playing in the division? I mean, they have to win for him to win MVP. I think they're going to have to go at least 12-4, right? Unless his numbers are just absolutely crazy. That division is so tough. Mm-hmm. I think it's just hard. It's going to be harder for him to win it. I think it's going to be similar to last year, but I do think the Ravens have the best chance to me of winning this. I think they're going to win this game. I think they're just the most balanced team, and I think they're going to have the best record again this year. I just, when you look at Lamar, he's maybe one of the few guys, probably the only guy ever. I mean, he realistically could have 1,000 yards rushing and 120 passer rating, some crazy stats. So I think this could be very similar to Giannis winning it this year. Best regular season, back-to-back MVPs, best team again. So I think, again, at 5-1, though, I think you jump on him, you jump on Mahomes. You could still play this okay and get a few different guys here.
Yeah, and we're forgetting about Rodgers a little bit. We'll get to you and Harry, Rodgers, but Rodgers, God, too, yeah. I think that offense is right up there with the Chiefs, Ravens. But I think just eye on the prize there. I take Lamar and Mahomes both at 5-1. But again, Rodgers 11-1 if you want to sprinkle a little there. Harry, Kyler Murray, I think he has to do what Brother Bri just described happened with Lamar Jackson, rush for 1,000 yards and do all that stuff. Now you're getting 13-1. What did you take him at in the beginning of the year?
I believe 23-1.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I have him too. But I think Brian makes a great point too. That once they get into the division, like Russell Wilson gets into the division, see how his stats, how his numbers go in those games, because it is the best division in football. But Sal, you also liked them as a team to win 10 games. You gave out, and I gave them out as winning 9. They win 10, then he's really a candidate if he continues to run the ball. He's got already over 500 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, but him and DeAndre Hopkins have connected on 22 of 25 targets. And again, like once it gets into the division, it's going to be tough to see what the stats are. But again, they play Detroit, Carolina, and the Jets in their next 3. So they really should be 5-0 the way they look. And if his numbers are really good, I mean, it's only going to go down more. And also there's a guy out there, Josh Allen, at 32-1. Look, he picked 4 positions behind Sammy D. 2 years ago, 71% completion percentage, 7 total touchdowns, 0 picks. And 2 years ago, Zay Jones was their leading receiver. I think he's on Brian's Raiders right now. He had 626 yards receiving, passing. That was the most he threw to anybody. Already this year, Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley have 35 catches combined for 519. And Diggs is the leading receiver in the NFL.
But he's hitting the long ball, that's for sure. But here's what I'll say about Arizona, which I think Kyler Murray, I don't know, it's been 7 minutes since you picked Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray, I think, was your MVP pick. Primetime at Seattle, at the Rams. I think he has to win both those games to win. If those are the only games you're playing under the lights, I think those are both. Mm-hmm. And one of them's January 3rd, so it could be that it's wrapped up by then. Anyway, that Rams game, I believe, is January 3rd. All right, Parley Kid, I like where you're going with this. I hope this would be nice.
Well, you know, I think you guys really have been on point so far. You know, Murray is he's going to be 5-0, and it's 13-1. That's as good as you're going to find him right now. I already have money on Jackson, Wilson, and Mahomes to win MVP, so I feel pretty good about that. But the Dallas Cowboys, and I look, I'm a critic of Dak Prescott. Like when I watch him play, he really frustrates me. But somehow or another, at the end of these games, his numbers tend to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Dallas's defense, Sal, it's not good. It is not a good defense. I can't watch the Cowboys anymore because of Jalen Smith. I watch him on every play, and I don't care how many tackles he makes. He makes them 8 yards downfield. I can't watch it anymore.
Right.
But Dak is going to be in a lot of shootouts. If the Cowboys can win the division, it's a terrible division. He's going to put up good numbers in every division game too. He's on pace right now, Self, for over 6,000 total yards between passing and rushing. And he's on pace for a combined 40 rushing and passing touchdowns. I don't think he can keep that pace up, but if he comes close to 5,000 yards passing this year and he's getting 8 or 9 rushing touchdowns along with 30 to 35 passing touchdowns, if that's what happens, he's a little low on that side right now, and they end up winning 10 games, he'll be in that discussion because he's a very well-liked player in the league too. I think the media loves him. And so he'll be there 15-1, jump on it now. If he beats Russell Wilson this week, which I think the Cowboys are going to beat Seattle,
that'd be big.
Week,
yeah.
He might overtake Russell Wilson in that MVP voting.
If the Cowboys beat Seattle and whatever happens in that Monday game, I think Russell Wilson's kind of out of the MVP talk for a few weeks. If that happens, I think you're right. Parlay Kid. Yeah. Talk about a player prop. Dak to rush for a touchdown seems to be good. Cam Newton to rush for a touchdown seems to be good. Every week or every other week could get good odds on those. Parley Kid, you and I, we've calmed down a little bit. I think we know why over the years with the Cowboys. We used to spend an hour on the phone after every Cowboy game, dissecting and going over it. Most of the time it was, you know, bemoaning a loss or something. We're not like that anymore, but it was exciting to pull off that 40-39 win. I bet your house was going a little crazy. My 15-year-old was going nuts too. He was very excited. All I'm thinking about is Seattle. I'm like, his team's not very good. We'll probably lose to Seattle. But my 15-year-old's like, Dad, we haven't had a win like this in a lot. Like, we've had important wins, I guess, but we haven't had a win like this, come from beyond, like this exciting, since Pittsburgh like 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought about it. I was like, that was exciting, but even that I couldn't root for because I think that put the nail in Tony Romo's coffin. You remember that? They were down like with a minute left and Dak brought him back. If they lose that, maybe they can insert him back in the lineup. But then they couldn't after that. So.
That's exactly right. And yeah, the problem is if you're a knowledgeable Cowboys fan, the win wasn't, I was excited. You could ask Brother Bry. I mean, I was pumped. I was like, more or less because I had him on certain parlays.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. But looking at the team, I was like, there's so many flaws right now with this team. It's incredible. They actually played a terrible game and Atlanta gave them the game. Really, it was a lack of, Dan Quinn, who should not be coaching anymore, at least with the Falcons, should not be a head coach anymore. We got very lucky, and I'll be the first one to admit it, but I was on the right side of bets for that. So that helped out.
You had the
money
line.
And that's where my excitement came from.
Right.
My overall other excitement about the team itself was rather blasé, but they are in a very weak division.
That's the thing. No, that's what I said on Fox Bet Live. It's like you're playing, you have a 4, and the rest of the division is the dealer holding a 6. So we could just kind of slow play this, probably 9-7, and win the division because the Giants have no offense, if you ever believed them in the first place, without Barkley. Washington, I think we saw a better version or a more realistic version of them this week against Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, look, they could certainly win a division. Philadelphia could beat us twice the way we are. But right now, they're having problems. If we could put together a little streak here and get some room in between Dallas and Philadelphia, they'll be okay. But yeah, that's I don't know what to think with that team. I will say this, the three fumbles in the first 5 minutes, Parlay Kid, I'm starting to think Zeke, Serena Williams, and Phil Rivers are amongst the three worst in terms of body language when you bet on them and they're losing. Like, you just want to tear their throats out, right? Like, I'm so...
That's a great
point. I would never do that to a woman. I'm sorry, Serena. I would not tear your throat out. So I take that back. But Zeke, and I for sure, and Phil Rivers, but... I can't take it anymore. Like, they have to show up, right? Mike McCarthy has to get them to show up at least.
Oh man, I've seen very little from Mike McCarthy so far.
Right,
it's like watching the same Cowboy team we've been watching for 15 years, basically.
Right.
Where the talent is there, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but they just, it's the same plays. Yeah. It's the same everything. It's kind of frustrating. And McCarthy's such a huge guy, and his face is, there's something about, I don't know. I can't complain. I was happy that Garrett was gone.
You guys can't
listen.
Listen, you guys can't complain. I've heard it for ages from you guys about the clapper, and now you're already 2 weeks in. You're 1-1, and you're bitching about McCarthy already.
We could have been. We could be 0-2. We could be 2-0 if there's no push off. Wow. It's a weird team, but it doesn't pass the eye test, Harry. They do look like a similar team.
Zeke's got two fumbles already. That's not McCarthy's
fault.
Well,
unless you think not having a team ready is someone's fault. I don't know. I apologize. So Parlay Kid and I were talking Cowboys. We forgot you guys were even here. I'm sorry. We'll move on. Let's move on to the Cowboys Seahawks. Parlay Kid, what do you think? No. Cowboys Seahawks. Seahawks are 55.5. That's a gigantic over-under. Not impressed with the Seahawks defense either. I mean, Jamal Adams made that great play chasing down Cam Newton. Reminded me of when Romo got chased down on the extra point years ago against Seattle. Otherwise, I think this could be a last drive, last score kind of win situation. Brother Bri, you're not screwing with the line. You're going total here.
Yeah, I think this is tough. I think this is going to come down to the end, and I don't know if it might be a one touchdown game either way. So I'm not really comfortable with that, but I do. The line is very high. The over under line is high. It's probably the highest. Right? It's the highest line right so far, I think, for the games. But I will say what the Parlay Kid was saying before. So Parlay Kid and I watch the games all the time together. It is very entertaining watching the Cowboys game with the Parlay Kid because he's constantly yelling at Jalen Smith. We're rewinding plays 100 times just to see where Jalen Smith is on the field. We're rewinding penalties. Our brother John is digging into Darren saying, well, you have Aldon Smith on defense. You guys should be good. And Darren's going crazy. Like, he hasn't played in 5 years, and you obviously have not been watching football. So it's still – so Parlay Kid still has that, you know, he still goes crazy in these games.
He hates all the Smiths. It's because he has money on him. He doesn't care about them.
Yeah, but that being said, I do think this is a shootout, though. There's not, again, nothing I see in the Cowboys that makes me think they could stop Russell and his big plays. Watching the Cowboys defense to me is like watching the Raiders defense, right? It's just these guys are wide open 15, 25 yards in the middle of the field all the time. But I will say that Seahawks, at least their run defense, at least was pretty good. So I think it's going to force the Cowboys to open up pass a little bit more. Maybe they'll be more aggressive at it right out of the gate. On the other hand, again, Seattle doesn't have a ton on the defensive side either, at least when it comes to pass rush. So I do just think this is going to be, regardless, to me, this, I get the sense it's like a 34-27 game. Mm-hmm. I would fear the under here just with like you get a string of three touchdowns in a row in the third quarter or something like that. So I would still, even though it's high, I would go over here.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Russell not afraid to air it out and almost cost them the game on that 3rd-and-1 trying to kill the clock against the Patriots. You figure he's going to do the thing where he keeps it himself. He does it. It's so rare now that he does it. You figure that was a spot, but no, he went long and incomplete. But yeah, these guys like the sling it. I think 31-28 is what I have. I don't know who wins this game. Like I said, last possession probably wins, but that even puts it over. All right, Harry, let's hear from you. Las Vegas, man, that would have been exciting Monday night if actually were fans there, right, Bri? Big Raiders fan opens up in Las Vegas. That's the one game so far in 2 weeks out of 32 games, however many have been played. You wish there was a crowd there, right? But exciting to watch, right?
For the Raiders, it was one of the best wins. Again, you guys talk about the Cowboys' great wins. For the Raiders, that's one of the, because watching that first quarter, it was so awful. I was like, here we go again. We can't stop anybody, which we really can anyway. Mm-hmm. But I never thought after the first quarter. I mean, I was bitching and complaining about Carr like I do every week, but mm-hmm. I didn't think we were going to win that game. I thought there was no way after that first quarter.
Well, now you go to New England, you go to Foxborough. The Patriots are 6.5-point favorite. 47.5 is the over-under. Harry, again, you're not taking either side here. You like the total.
I do. I like the over here. I mean, Bri, you got to be excited. I mean, Carr, greatest start probably of his career, right? Four touchdowns, no interceptions, 74% completion percentage. And their games have been crazy. The Panther game was 64 points, where they didn't play, and the Panthers didn't play that good this past week offensively, but 64 in that game. They put up, the Raiders have put up 34 back-to-back weeks, 58 with the Saints on Monday night. And the Patriots, by the way, I mean, I don't know if it was so much Cam really, but more than it was the weak Seattle defense that made Cam look so good. But I mean, Cam, 400 yards. Edelman looked great. It's been a while since he looked great. He went all over the place, and that game was crazy. So I just think the defense for New England is a little bit shoddy, and the Vegas team just overall, offense and defensively, going to put the points are going to be there, and I think this game goes way over.
All right. Back to the game itself. Pats after a loss since 2013. Obviously, it's Tom Brady's team, but after a loss since 2013, wins 77% of the time, cover 69% of the time. The last time a 2-0 team went to Foxborough, the last two times they lost and were outscored 53-10. You might be walking into a buzzsaw. This is kind of perfect for Belichick. If you would think short week, you would think a team that won coming across country against pissed off Patriots team. Go ahead, Harry. I'm sorry. No, did I interrupt you? Go ahead, jump in. Yeah,
I was just going to say start of the season, East Coast, back to the West Coast, back to the East Coast week three.
All right. Yeah.
It's a lot of travel.
It's never fun leaving Vegas, but especially after a win like that, if you're going to get slaughtered. But maybe they can hang in. What a feel good story that would be. I like the Patriots here, but obviously, rooting for the Raiders. I have thought about it. I've tried to figure out. Yeah, they do. They really do travel more than you, Harry, somehow, this Vegas team. I was thinking about like a team that doesn't win at home. Like, do they have to go? Do they have to travel because of COVID? Could they just say, hey, we'll 2-0. We'll give up 2-1. That's fine. Take your win, old man. That's good, Belichick. I don't know if the Vegas even wants to go at this point. All right, going back to Green Bay, New Orleans. Now, I don't want to say I'm a genius here, but there was a lineup on FanDuel on the Green Bay, New Orleans game before New Orleans played the Raiders. Green Bay was getting 4. I was like, I like that anyway. I don't care what the hell happens in this game. New Orleans isn't going to get better on a Monday night game, right? So they might get injured. They might lose Breeze. They might lose Kamara. I took the 4 points. Now it's down to 3, parlay kid. FanDuel has over under 51.5. You like the favored Saints though?
Yeah. You know, if this was at 4, like you said, I think a little differently. I'm thinking worst case, it's a push here. The Saints, like you were just saying about the Patriots, the Saints haven't lost back-to-back games since the first 2 games of the 2017 season. Mm. And they just don't seem to do it. And the Packers, on the other hand, I guess you could say they are 2-0, but Vikings and Lions certainly don't make you feel like they've beaten teams that are ultra impressive, right? So I think, again, without the Saints having their real home field advantage like they normally would, this is a team that just Drew Brees just does not allow them to lose 2 in a row. I think the travel will just slightly affect Green Bay. Mm. I think this is a game where the Saints win. It will be close, but the Saints end up winning this by 6 or 7 points.
Wow.
They pull it out. Look, not having Michael Thomas is a huge factor.
Sure.
I had the Raiders last night on our extra points pick.
Mm-hmm.
I had them to cover, and they ended up doing more than covering. But I just think the Saints are... Look, is this team going to be 1-2? I just don't see them 1-2. So I think they're winning this game, and they're going to just win it by 3 or more points.
Interesting.
That's really it. I'm not in love with – I don't love this Green Bay team. So I had them a lot last year, Green Bay, and I know you really like them.
I really like them.
Yeah. I know you do, but I'm just, I'm not in love with the that team still. I'm just not in love. I actually think, look, they're a run first team now, Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I think the Saints are going to stop the run. I think they're going to stop. They're going to shut the run down. And Rodgers can beat you too, but with the exception of Davante Adams, I don't think they have a real another guy that's going to scare the Saints, and I think they'll find a way to beat him.
Adams is banged up too. I think he plays. Thomas is not probably going to play, not playing. But I just think they're better. Like you said, Aaron Jones, 236 yards, 3 touchdowns last week. I watched that. I don't know why I have the Packers on every game. Maybe my wife is from Milwaukee, even though she does not give a shit about it. But anyway, they make a full screen. And I feel like he's going through the motions, Rodgers, like 70%. He's playing at 70%. Not a health issue, but just like beating up on these teams. Green Bay 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 as an underdog, and 4-1 straight up. Don't think the Saints, aside from the travel, I don't think this is as great a home field advantage as it's been in the past. I think 27-21. I'm taking the Packers to win. Now, Bri, Monday night, this is so good. Chiefs-Ravens, we got it right off the bat. Week 3, both 2-0, obviously. Ravens, boy, that was my killer. I had the Texans last week. I'm like +7.5, +8.5. Was on our extra points for extra pay parlay, and they get slaughtered. They were running downhill, the Ravens, all game. Favored by 3. Over-under's 53.5. Again, you're not touching the game itself, but you like the over.
Yeah, so I know I talked about Lamar and the Ravens before, and I do think they're going to win this game, and I wanted to take the -3. I think it's almost impossible to take the Ravens at like -190 money line, right? It's still too much of a toss-up, I think, to take the money line. If you're going to take the Ravens, take them to cover for sure. Mm-hmm. But I started thinking about it. I'm definitely more comfortable with the over 53.5 here. When was the last? So on a Monday night or primetime game when we've had 2 great quarterbacks. I mean, I could be totally off on this. I haven't done any research on this.
Breeze and Carr, but just yesterday, 24 hours ago.
But just either a Sunday night, a Monday night game, these primetime games between 2 great quarterbacks. Yeah. I feel like you always get shootouts in these games.
Yeah.
I just get the sense. I don't think the Chiefs can stop the Ravens at all. I mean, from what I saw in that Chargers game, the way the Chargers ran all over the Chiefs, I think it's going to be even worse. I mean, I could easily see this. One of the things, the bets I do like here is probably the Ravens to score first, because for whatever reason, Kansas City struggled early. I do think the Ravens always come out, and I feel like they're always up 7-0 every time I look. But I think this is a game you have to root for the points. There's no point on Monday night. You want to go into this game rooting for an awesome game to end the week. A lot of points. 53.5. It's not a ton. One of these teams is going to get 35 or something. I just feel like the Ravens, I don't know. I think the Ravens are scoring 30 and the Chiefs are going to put up 28.
I'm with you. So, I'm not touching it. Yeah. I'd like to not watch it. Will either of you guys make an agreement with me to not watch? Not that I wouldn't watch it, that I wouldn't bet it. Can we have something over text? But I'm sure I'll have something. I'm leaning, Bri, with you over. Harry pointed out to me today, Kansas City averages, as ho-hum as they've been, they've averaged 28 points over the last 2 weeks. Baltimore averaged 35. They scored 61 total when they played last year. I think it's like a 34-30 final. It has a potential to be like a Rams-Chiefs game from a few years ago, where it's just in the 40s and 50s, and it just gets out of hand. But maybe not. I don't know. I'm not going to pick a winner. It's a great, great game. Again, I say the winner of this game, the quarterback, is a front runner to win MVP. And we're working backwards here. The Thursday night game, Miami at Jacksonville, the Jags -3, 47.5. Listen, it's Tuesday afternoon. I have no idea. I don't know. I haven't looked into this too much. Minshew's fun. Fitzpatrick's fun when he's good. But otherwise, this game should be shipped to London.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could do it. It's a Thursday night game. It might be too late. I'm not jumping on either side here, Parlay Kid. I might take like first touchdown or something somewhere along the line. But you have confidence in the Dolphins, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins getting the 3 points here, Sal. I actually think this sounds weird, but if Tua was starting this game, wouldn't this be a fun game to watch?
Yeah. We saw Herbert. We saw Herbert. We saw Burrow. Let's put Tua in there. Do it already.
Look, Fitzpatrick certainly hasn't lost his job. If you look at his numbers, they've been pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
He has a certain way about him in the second half of these games, Fitzpatrick. But boy, I would love to see Tua. But look, I get the injury factor, even though he seems to be fully healthy. But boy, with all the injuries happening lately, can you imagine if they put him in and he got hurt? So
I know.
Maybe they're just kind of waiting to get through the first 6 or 7 games before they unveil him.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the Dolphins to cover. Look, 2 weeks ago, we sat here and said, Jacksonville, well, we were all in agreement to bet them to have the worst record in football, right?
Right.
So now that we go 2 weeks later and they're favorites here
at
-3 against the Dolphin team, that is improved. I know Byron Jones is, I think, out this week. But the Miami, they can move the ball.
Mm-hmm.
This kid, Gesicki, right, as this tight end,
yep.
He's coming on. He's coming into his own. He's becoming a very good factor. Brother John is a Dolphin fan. It's probably the only Dolphin he knows his name.
Really?
It's unbelievable. It really is.
Now. It's a good jersey.
It's really sad. It's really sad what's happened to Brother John. It's really.
Oh, I agree.
He's a shell of his former sports self.
And Cousin Dale, even worse. Even a sadder story.
It's true. But sad, yeah, getting the points, they're playing a team that we all thought was the worst team in football. I'm still saying that Jacksonville's kind of overachieved. I think the Dolphins at 0-2, they're just going to win this. They're going to find a way to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're better than 0-3, the Dolphins, and they'll win this game. So take the +3 with the Dolphins.
I think I'm just mad at the Dolphins. I had that money line parlay over the Bills. Actually, money line straight up over the Bills, and I thought they could have won that game, and they freaking blew it. As much as Harry loves Josh Allen, they could have won. It just pisses me off when teams just don't show up in the fourth quarter. I don't know. Right now, this is a pass for me. I guess they'll have fans. Oh, shit. Miami at Jacksonville. That should be – they'll probably be at capacity, right? I'm guessing Florida is just opening. They'll probably have another stadium for this too, right? They'll probably fill 2 stadiums to watch this on closed circuit. But 3 is the number on FanDuel, 47.5. I'm going to pass on it. The Parlay Kid likes the Dolphins. Real quick, Bri, Thursday night, who do you like?
I like the Dolphins in that game.
Dolphins +3. Harry, who do you like?
Yeah, +3 for sure.
Dolphins too. They easily could have won both games this year.
All right. There you go. Trifecta is in agreement with the Dolphins +3. And now's a good time to mention to you that Against All Odds is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. By now, you've probably heard about FanDuel Sportsbook's world-class sports betting app. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. They've got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Fun bet types. And it's the only place where you could play same-game parlay NFL bets this season. When they win, you often get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. That's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook. But here's a few more. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. So a crap game like the Jags and Dolphins, you got a risk-free bet. Take Miami +3. Guess what? You lose? They don't come after you. They really don't. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want. You win, keep the cash. You lose, get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. And you're going to want to check out FanDuel's double up promotions for NFL, NBA, and NHL. You could place, and for football, a pregame money line wager. Your team scores 35 or more points. You double your winnings, maximum $50 in site credit. Boy, that Chiefs-Ravens game is good for that. NBA final basket bonus, place a money line wager. And if the last score of the game is a 3-pointer, you double your winnings, max $50 credit. Or 5-goal double up in NHL. Yes, there's still Stanley Cup games. Place a pregame money line wager and your team scores 5 or more goals. You double your winnings. Again, max $50 site credit. Start betting. Just download FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with our promo code Against All Odds so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Against All Odds. FanDuel.com/AgainstAllOdds. All right, let's go to the NBA here, guys. Game 4. We're doing this right as the Lakers and Nuggets tip off, so it doesn't make sense to talk about that, although that was a pretty thrilling ending Sunday night. But Wednesday, now the East had to wait for the West to catch up. Wednesday, Heat Celtics game four. Parlay Kid, Celtics are back in this. They're a different team with Gordon Hayward. Boy, you were celebrating. Yeah. My God, Parlay Kid on a separate text chain. He's like, why did anyone think the Celtics were going to win this series? And now they're back in it, 2-1. They're favored.
They're back in it, but
favored
but
by
everybody
three.
Was so convinced that this series was going to be one-sided.
Yeah.
When the Heat have hardly, what is that? How many losses do they have in the playoffs now? Is that their third playoff loss so far?
Yeah.
Just second.
Oh, yep. Second.
He did that on purpose. He knew it was second. He did that on purpose. Like, yeah.
You know, yeah. So
lost
what
by
is
three.
There? I really feel like when the Heat, listen, Jimmy Butler said it after the game. We didn't play hard enough. We didn't do anything we set out to do. And now we're going to see what we're made of.
Mm-hmm.
I have full confidence in Jimmy Butler when he says those words that he means business now. And I think in this series, when Miami has decided to mean business, they've been the better team.
Right.
They really have been the better team. And I think they're going to finish this out in six. I think they get this game. Look, they're getting 3 points in game four here, right? Is that what we're talking about here?
Celtics.
So I love them getting 3 points, even though I would take the money line because I think they'll win this game. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, let's say we'll take the 3 points. And I don't get this narrative. Oh, Gordon Hayward's back. What a difference he made, right? He played 31 minutes, went 2 for 7, grabbed a few rebounds, had a few assists. And you could say, well, he spreads the court out. I'd let Gordon Hayward take the ball all day if I'm the Heat.
Really?
Let Jimmy Butler guard him one-on-one. What's Hayward going to do? He's not really a factor. To me, at least he wasn't the other night.
Yeah.
People want to credit Hayward for the win.
Yeah,
come on, that's a terrible analysis for anybody to say that Hayward was the factor. Maybe he'll be a factor going forward, but he did not contribute in this one the other day. The Heat got to get off to better starts. They're down every game.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just battling from behind every game. If they come to play, they're winning this series. I think they're the better team.
Well, and that, you know, and the worst thing about Jordan Hayward, he's trying to steal and cultivate the Jim Cunningham look. Jim Cunningham, pop up there for a minute. Let's take a look at you. Yeah. He's really trying to look like you. I don't know if this is a winning formula. No, you're not coming on. We can't see. I don't know.
Right, that's a good point.
Right.
Yeah,
look
wow.
at that. That's Holy him right smokes. There. You could probably go 2 for 7. Couldn't you, Cunningham? Yeah. Easy is right. Pollockin, I don't know who's better. I really don't, because maybe it doesn't even matter who's better, because it's kind of the same game every time. The Celtics get up big. They've blown four double-digit leads. And this lends itself right into Harry's pick that Brian stole from him. Now, there was some confusion
Reverse
here.
It.
Brian put in a pick, and then hours later, Harry went with the same thing. We usually try to steer clear of the same picks.
It's
but
different.
It's a it little bit, happens. It's a tiny bit different.
It's different.
Brother Bri, you like the Celtics in the first half, and that's been a winner for the 10 out of 11. I don't know, 9-1-1?
Yeah.
One, one? I don't know.
Yeah, so I like the Celtics -1.5 first half. Look, I've done really well. That's probably... I've been killing it on these bets with first half covers, first quarter covers between certain teams. So the Celtics have just been awesome in the first half, for whatever reason. They haven't trailed at the half in their last 10 games. I think two of them were tied, but they have not trailed in 10 games. So again, for whatever reason, Stevens must just have them coming out focused. For whatever reason, you get a better Marcus Smart right out of the gate. I do think they play... For whatever reason, they're playing a little bit harder. Miami's starting slow, and it takes them a while to ramp up their defense. Late in the game, defensively, they're much better. They start making shots. But even Miami, though, they've only led it half once in their last 8 games, like Parlay Kid was saying. So I think, you know, down 2-1, this just, I mean, the stats are kind of just saying, I think again, that the Celtics are going to come out and, are going to cover this 1.5. I will disagree with the Parlay Kid, though. For as much as Gordon Hayward, like, there's just little things that, I mean, just the fact that Gordon Hayward is on the floor and it's not some other guy, I think that's even just that alone is just definitely a positive. And they've had spots in these games where all of a sudden they just start turning the ball over like crazy. And I think Hayward, the one thing he gives them is some consistency there. And he keeps the flow going a little bit more than what they've had.
So you're taking the Heat Oh, so you're taking the minus one and a half. Oh, I just took the Celtics minus one and a half.
Celtics minus one and a half.
Yeah. All right, Harry, your slight variation of this is to not lay the point and a half and just think that they have the lead going into the locker room.
That is correct. By the way, I do agree totally with Brian about Hayward, absolutely. But I do like Parlay Kid's intensity. I love when he gets fired up. when he gets fired up into Cowboys, it's all hogwash.
Oh.
But when it's something else, this is good. I really like your take on that one, Parlay Kid. But still, I agree with Brian on Hayward. Celtics, look, first half, minus 154 on the money line, 63 points last game, won by 13 in the first half. Brian mentioned there, too, in the first half, 11-1-2 on the money line in the first half in the playoffs. And last game, Kemba Walker stepped it up, too. I like that. He stepped up his game in game three, shot 50% from the field. He made 4 threes. So, yeah, I like the Celtics, too, here to take care of the Heat, especially in the first half.
All right. We're going to find out why the Parlay Kid hates Gordon Hayward so much. We're going to get down. Yeah. We're going to get to the bottom of it. But, no, believe me, Parlay Kid, I'm passionate, too, about rooting against Boston teams, except I happen to have money. I should just let this go, but I have money on the Celtics. And
well, I think our buddy Alec precipitated it when Hayward was the only guy who was not in the was not a positive factor on the floor, and he's like, wow, what a difference Hayward's making. Yeah, out here. Yeah. And I'm like, am I watching the same game? He's the only guy that's not a plus 10 on the Celtics right now. I'm not saying he's not going to be a factor going forward, but he was not a factor in game three. I don't care what anybody
Parlay Kid, do you understand our friend Alec is so advanced in the way he watches a game? Like, we have comparatively, we have immature taste buds. So we're still happy to have like oatmeal, but he's eating lobster.
Well, he did
every
play
night
pro ball in El Salvador.
That's true. That's true. I forgot. Yes. I wish we could have bet the unders on those. My God. Anyway, the player props there. All right. There you go. That is Wednesday night NBA. NHL Wednesday night. Tampa Bay, Dallas, game three. Tampa came out really flat game one and then jumped all over the Stars. They went up 3-0. Brother Bri was like, we did that thing on text where Brother Bri was like, hey, does anyone else have Tampa Bay? Or no, it's, does anyone have Tampa Bay? And then it's like, no. And he's like, oh, well, I have Tampa Bay. And I'm like, all right.
Well, I didn't want to jinx it.
No, I know. Well, no, you jinxed it. But by putting that text out there, you jinxed it. I'm like, all right, you son of a bitch. You know how this works. You better hedge. You're up 3-0. And then I didn't hear anything. He's like, yeah, I probably should. And I'm like, holy shit, it's 3-2. And he's like, don't worry, I hedged. And because he hedged, they held on. So we know that. Right. But Tampa Bay for game three. Am I reading the series right? Tampa Bay's minus 160 for game three on FanDuel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Minus 160.
Right. And Stars are plus 135.
Plus. Yep.
Brother Bri, you called it right game two. What do you like for the third game?
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with Dallas game three here. I will say, does anybody else right now feel bad for hockey going up against between college football, basketball? I mean, they're I don't know. I mean, these ratings have to be terrible. It's nothing they could really do. But I don't know. I would just say after watching that game, I've bet probably against the Stars almost in every game. And it's a nightmare to watch these games. It doesn't matter what the scores are. I never feel like the lead is safe. I had Tampa last night, that 3-0 lead. Once it got to 3-1, I was like, oh shit. So again, luckily I hedged at like 14-1 there, but not that, I mean, it didn't matter, but I think these games are just too close. Qdoba's been freaking awesome. And I think to lay minus 160 again for me would just be, it would not be smart here. I think it's more of a, this every game in this series is pretty much going to be a coin flip. So
yeah.
I would just take the plus 135 and just hope Qdoba's as good as he's been. And they have a great shot at winning.
Brian, what you could do is you could just be like me and bet like at minus 700 that both teams will score. I think Dallas 14 out of 15, Harry, Tampa Bay, every game in the bubble.
For Tampa Bay.
There you go.
Tampa. Every Tampa game, both teams have scored.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What do you like, Harry? I didn't even get your take on this in our pre-interview.
I'm gonna punk out a little bit here because I'm gonna take the Stars, but +1.5 at -220.
That's the worst.
Well, listen. Brian made great points there because the +1.5 is really great here. If you think about it, most goals they have given up in the last seven games, the Stars, it's three. Last eight playoff games, only lost by two or more one time. and have won 6 of the last 7. Pavelski at 36 years old, parlay kid. He's been something else. He leads the team with 10 goals in the playoffs, plus 1.5. I know you got to lay 220, but it seems really easy.
I hate that shit. I do. If you're down 2-1 with 3 minutes left, good luck.
But this Dallas team is different.
All they have to do is be down 2-1 with, and then they're going to pull the goalie. Then you got to get lucky.
They took forever to pull the goalie the other night when it took. They finally pulled him with like 59 seconds to go.
Believe me.
So you didn't get that empty.
I'm the asshole who lays minus 7. I don't mind laying a big number, but even I'm off these plus 1.5s, plus 2.5s because of the nonsense that could go on at the end. Brian, what were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say maybe let's just bet overtime for this game. I mean,
okay,
I think we're due.
Parlay kid, what do you like?
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually thinking the overtime, I think, but I felt like at plus 290, it just wasn't great value. I think that's what it was.
Usually
I thought it'd be
three.
A little bit better, but these two teams have played a lot of overtime games. But Sal, look, I'm really like the Lightning. I'm starting to wonder if the Islanders took a little starch out of them, a little of their speed.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know if their legs are gone, but I'm still sticking with them. I have them.
Yeah,
and I'm taking them tomorrow. What I like tomorrow is them to have the lead after one at plus 151 or 152 on FanDuel. Tampa's really only played two good periods out of six in the first two games here. It was the third period in game one and the first period in game two. And then they kind of coasted yesterday in the last two periods just trying to hang on to that lead. And I just don't think they're going to play three mediocre periods in a row. I think they're going to come out. And they're another team that when they exert their will, when they're really focused and ready to play, they're the better team. They are the better team than the Stars. And I just think they're going to come out tomorrow in the first period, have a 1-0 lead or something to that nature. And I like just like that. I'm not sure. Like you said, I'm not really sure how the game's going to finish. I could see Dallas winning the game, maybe a 3-2 type of game. But I do like Tampa to have a lead. I think they're going to come out again on fire. And they'll. I like it at plus 151 or something.
Well, listen, I know the parlay kid for the longest time. And his goal now for this series is to be able to go into school and scream through a mask at his students that the Islanders were the second best team in the NHL. And for that to happen, Tampa Bay has to finish this series off.
Yeah.
No?
No, you know, Sal, I would have thought that way years ago, but I would probably say the Islanders are not.
You've matured.
I wouldn't say they were the second best team at this point. I'd say the third best team.
All right. You heard it here. There you go. That's Wednesday night. And that brings us to our unsponsored segment, the Make Believe Riverboat Casino, where each week the degenerate trifecta and I set sail tackling pretend propositions related to sports and pop culture events. Obviously, last night, that was a lot of fun. We touched on it a little bit. Vegas Raiders chalking up their first win in front of an empty stadium. That's the sad part against the Saints. The good thing is there's football in Vegas. Roger Goodell believed in it for many, many years, and it's finally come to fruition. The owners fought him on a tooth and nail, and they finally, I don't know what he did to convince them, but it's in Vegas. I was thinking, though, with this team, how much more fun it would be for the Raiders if they had Antonio Brown. I want to see Antonio Brown. Yeah, we talked about it last year. Antonio Brown's first year in Vegas is going to be insane, but they don't really have that kind of player. You know, that's going to call. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe there's some. We'll see it in the coming weeks. But it got me thinking, and which team would you have liked to have seen play their home games in Las Vegas? You can go through history. Is it the 1986 Mets at plus 180? The 1992 Cowboys, Cocaine Cowboys, 5-2. The 1988 Pistons, the Bad Boys at 4-1. Or the field, because there are just so many out there, at minus 250. Harry, start us off. Which team would you have wanted to see in playing their home games in Vegas?
Boy, so I think I'm going to jump on you at plus 250 with your New York Mets.
Well, that's not the odds I gave. The Cowboys are plus 250. The Mets?
I want the Mets.
Well, you can only get that plus 180. Sorry.
plus 180. Sorry. I'll take the Mets because, look, you know, hey, your buddy Lenny Dykstra Yeah. I hung out with him for a couple days about a year and a half ago. He shared a lot of stories with me. The only problem, like a lot of crazy stories. So it was good stuff. But the only problem would be if they were in Vegas, like they'd be hungover all the time. And who knows who would be showing up after everything was said and done with the partying that they did. So it would be interesting still to see the Mets because they were so good at that time, too.
Well, I'll second that. I'm going with the Mets at plus 180. We're putting together a documentary on ESPN at 30 for 30. About the Mets. It's a four-parter. It's going to come out next year, and we've talked to some of these guys, and it's a cast of characters. Now, like you said, Doc, Straw, would have been, who the hell knows what they would have been like day-to-day. Kevin Mitchell would have buried a body somewhere in the desert. That would have been fun. Lenny Dykstra, we remember when we went to Vegas a few years ago, he was supposed to join us, and then I don't know what the hell happened. Caesars put the kibosh on it. We had him like, no, Lenny, don't get on the plane. Southwest calls your name. Just turn around. Don't go. That would have been a lot of fun. Gary Carter would have locked himself in his room, and that would have been it.
Right.
Rest in peace. But I like the Mets also, plus 180. Brother Bri, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going to third that. I'm going to say the Mets, too. I don't even know what Vegas was like in the 80s. Actually, in the 80s growing up, I didn't even know. Until UNLV, I didn't really even know what the hell Vegas was. My parents definitely never brought it up. they probably never wanted me to go to it. But I say it for a different reason, because if the Mets were in Vegas in 1986, they definitely would not have won the World Series, because like three or four guys would have been dead on that team.
Right.
So between, like you said, between Strawberry Good and Dykstra. And plus, all my friends, even to this day, all my friends are Mets fans. Growing up for that period in the 80s, early 90s, it was all Mets talk. Mm-hmm. That's all I heard. I was teased about the Yankees, actually, if you could believe that, for that those
really?
Years. So
yeah.
it would have been nice if they were in Vegas. They never would have won.
Let that be a lesson to parents out there. Brother Bri's mom and dad never brought up Vegas, and he rebelled in the worst kind of way.
It's like
enough of it now.
you don't let your kids have a drink of alcohol, and then they become alcoholics.
It. No it's sugar. Just, that's the same. You gotta give them a little sprinkling. All right, Parlay Kid. I think you're not taking the Mets just because, just out of principle.
No, I mean, look, we know. I don't, you know, if the Mets had been in Vegas, I mean, can you imagine? Look what Vegas did to Harry. Chewed him up, spit him out, right? I mean, he couldn't hack it in Vegas. He literally is banned from Vegas. He can't even be there.
It looks like he chewed Vegas up and spit him out. All right, I guess, I don't know. Who knows?
He was telling me some stories. Nice. Harry was telling me some stories about him and some other guy the other night. About all the illegal shenanigans that they were
doing
in Vegas.
Harry, come on.
That is true.
It's incredible.
Hey,
really
the guy might be moving to Scottsdale now.
Yeah, great.
The casino's there too, Darren.
It's amazing. They're going to lock it down. But say, you know what? If you look, can you imagine if the 50s Yankees Mickey Mantle, Billy Martin,
Whitey Ford,
and that kind of crew had the scrutiny, the media scrutiny that the players have today,
mm-hmm.
and the things that they did. Can you imagine if they were playing in Vegas at this time? So I'm taking the field, and I'm saying the Mickey Mantle era Yankees, not the Joe DiMaggio Mickey Mantle. It went after DiMaggio retired, because DiMaggio would have been a real wet blanket,
right? Mr. Coffee,
most likely,
right.
in Vegas. So after DiMaggio, when it became Mantle's team, can you imagine this team? I've read some books about some of the things that these guys pulled. I can't even imagine what would have happened in Vegas. So I'm taking the field, and I'm taking those Mickey Mantle teams of the 50s and early 60s that would have just created so much mayhem in Vegas. It would have been
Rizzuto and Berra are on those teams, right? Also, they make their early 60s.
I don't know if those were the real rebel.
Well, that's what I mean. Like guys like that, you didn't even read about. It could have turned them sideways too. Who knows? Like
who knows exactly? Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting. All right, Jim Cunningham. What about you? Favorite team you would have liked to see play in Las Vegas?
I would have liked to see in the late 90s Bulls, Jordan. And Dennis Rodman in Vegas. I think that would have given the Knicks a good chance to finally.
Well, Rodman did practically play that year in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
Jordan had to drag him out of there. Joel Solomon, you want to jump on? I think you had some thoughts too earlier today.
I mean, my 1993 Maccabi bowling team was really, we partied hard.
I didn't even think of those guys.
No, I don't know. The 04 Red Sox, just because I would have loved to see them not win the World Series. But,
yeah,
you know,
I guess we think like that. Yeah,
Kevin Millar, Damon, Big Poppy, Manny, Pedro. Yeah, they would have feel like
that would have been a mess probably, too. Maybe the Bad News Bears, like freaking Kelly Leak goes wild, you know, at the strip clubs at all hours. How about Hit and Run, Darren? How about 1992 Hit and Run?
Well, Hit and Run had like four or five degenerate gamblers on that team.
One of them ended up in Vegas. You know, yeah, that was our softball team.
Can you imagine that team?
Our softball team that would brawl.
Or Paulie Crispino's Fat Dogs, out in Vegas.
Yeah.
Forget it. Hit and Run softball team, Harry.
All right.
Who knows?
I think we may be losing some people now. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. All right, we'll get them back right now. Shark Tank, you guys went either 2-0 or the 2-1 or 3-0, depending on how you want to look at it. Harry, who was your winner last week?
The Niners over Sammy D.
Oh yeah, that was disgusting. I don't even. I think the Jets have to be the worst team. There's some bad ones out there, but if you look at it, the team that gave up 55-yard run on 3rd and 31 might just have to go down as the worst team of 2020. And I watched them come out and win this week. Who do you like for your Sharp Tank? You're going to pick a game. Brother Bry's going to pick a game. Parlay Kid's going to pick a game or a parlay. I'm going to jump on one of your best bets.
I'm going to do a three-team 10-point teaser.
Wow.
I know we haven't discussed a lot of college football yet, but I'm going to take two pros. I'm going to take one college. I'm going to take Boston College. They're -17.5 at home against North Texas. Take that down to -7.5. This is, again, not North Texas. I'm sorry, Texas State. Texas State is playing five straight road games to start the season. This is their fourth straight. They got to go to the East Coast. Boston College looked good last week. They forced five turnovers at Duke in a win. They held them scoreless for the last three quarters. So Boston College, -7.5. And in the pros, I'm going to take the Rams-Bills from 48 down to 38. So over 38, like I mentioned before, Stephon Diggs, how happy is he to be out of Minnesota? He leads the NFL in receiving yards. Josh Allen leads the NFL in passing yards. 58 points they put up in 2 weeks. Allen's got seven total touchdowns. And the Rams, 57 points in their two games. So I'm going to go over 38 there. And my third team, yes, believe it or not, I am taking the Dallas Cowboys, who are +5, and I'm going to take them up to 15. Look, and between me and Parlay Kid bitching about our picks and our losses and everything, at least he was winning, and I did have a little bit on Seattle, but I was upset in that game because how much did Seattle lay off the receivers of New England? Every single play, they're playing 5 to 7 yards off of their receivers. They let Cam look great. They let Cam go for 400 yards. I don't like what I saw there in their defense at all. And the Cowboys offense is just, they got rolling. They pulled out the game. Now they're 1-1, and they can go up there, and I think +15. And again, I mentioned also Zeke has two fumbles, but he's been putting up the yards too, and he's got three. I believe he's got three touchdowns in 2 weeks. I think Dallas gets it done. I think they win the game too, but +15 is a steal.
Yeah, normally I would jump in, try to cut Harry short, but he's praising the Cowboys. I'm like, who the hell knows when we're going to hear that again?
CeeDee Lamb looked good too.
Oh, wow. There's more. All right. Yeah. Wow. 15 does seem like a lot there because they'd have to score like 43. All right, Harry. All right, Boston. Harry, will you get back to me and make sure they're playing North Texas or Texas State? It really factors into whether I'm jumping on this. So please confirm that while Brother Bry gives his.
The Bobcats of Texas State.
Gives his Sharp Tank pick, Brother Bry.
All right, so we discussed this already, but I am going to give the Packers +3.5 at -115. So FanDuel has, you know, again, they have a lot of different lines. So the Packers line right now is 3, but you can get 3.5 at -115, which I think it makes sense to take that line. Look, I know you guys discussed it already before, but the Packers have played two really bad teams, but I think they are legit. And after watching the Saints last night, I'd be a little concerned about them if I was a Saints fan. That I'd be concerned about the team and Breeze. Guys were open all over the field. Breeze missed a few easy ones. I even sent to you, Sal, like, that's the worst pass I've seen Breeze throw. And you're like, oh, just wait. There's going to be more. And there was. They were undisciplined. They couldn't keep the Raiders off the field on third down. And to me, it's funny because to me, the Packers are like the Raiders. They're they're a much better version of the Raiders right now. Similar teams, similar styles, yeah. But you have Rodgers, and their defense is much better than the Raiders. So the Saints coming off a short week, I think it's a semi-high scoring close game. And I like getting the 3.5 here, especially because it seems like Michael Thomas, I doubt he plays after these high ankle sprains. These guys never come back in a week. So,
right.
I'd like that 3.5 there.
That's pretty good. I feel the same way about that. I took him +4, like I said, on Fox Bet Live. I'm just looking this over. I think Breeze is completing less than 5 yards a pass or something insane. Obviously Michael Thomas being out makes them sort of pedestrian. All right, Parlay Kid, I think you're staying away from that game. What do you like, though?
Well, you know, I'm going to come back with one of my parlays here, Sal. The only thing I'm really disappointed in is what I'm reading right now about the fact I like the Chargers this week, Sal. I really like the Chargers this week. Mm. But now it looks like Tyrod Taylor could be starting.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy that Anthony Lynn kind of threw Justin Herbert under the bus today. Our buddy Jeff Schwartz is not happy about it either.
Right.
His quote was, "There's a lot we didn't get done with Justin on the field yesterday. He's a backup for a reason." That's a little harsh. I think anybody who watched that game, including Tony Romo, was raving about Justin Herbert. He was fantastic. I'm going to stick with it because I have it here. So Chargers are my number one team. They're playing the Panthers minus McCaffrey. I think if you've been watching, the Chargers defense is pretty good. They are pretty solid, and I think they'll at least carry the team, even if Taylor is quarterbacking. They get the job done against the Panthers at -300. I love the Patriots this week against the Raiders. Sorry, Bri.
That's okay.
I think I just don't see the Raiders being able to stop the Patriots, stop Cam Newton running the ball. And I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan, but from what I've seen from Cam so far, has been pretty good. And I just don't think the Raiders defensively can stop. And let's face it, the Patriots will stop the Raiders at least better than the Saints did.
Mm.
So that's number two at -255. And at -260, I love this one. I know it's the one road game I have on here. It's the Bucs at Denver. Tom Brady at -260 against a Cortland Sutton-less team here for Denver, and a Drew Lock-less team here for Denver. Starting Driscoll. Godwin is back for the Bucs this week, it looks like. So they have another weapon back. And Fournette looks like he busted out last week. I think he's their main guy now,
yep.
Or at least he should be. So I really love this teaser here of the parlay at plus. It's a +157 parlay of Pats, Chargers, Buccaneers. I really like this one again.
Does Bortles doesn't play? Actually, is he even on the team? I know they brought him in. Denver. Denver did.
I would assume they're sticking with Driscoll just because he did okay. He performed okay.
Yeah, it's such a bummer. I had this circled as a win before the season for Denver. I'm like, this is where they upset, and then Von Miller gets hurt, and now they don't have a quarterback.
Sutton and Locke,
I cursed them.
To be honest, I can't believe this is only -6 right now.
Yeah.
Or -6.5. I know Tampa hasn't been too oppressive, but I thought this would be 7.5 with these injuries.
Yeah.
And Fournette's emergence and Godwin coming back for Tampa.
Yeah.
I really like them. I really like it here.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I don't like about your parlay is you have to root for freaking Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah, just going to do that matchup itself, and I added the Chargers to it.
Well, that doesn't help. I don't care about the Chargers. No, Parlay Kid, I wish you luck. It looks like a winner, but I can't. I don't want to root for that stuff. Sorry. Harry, North Texas, Texas State. It's definitely North Texas?
It's Texas State.
Oh, it's Texas State. I can't do it then. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that one. No, bro, I already have the Packers +4.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I like it at 3.5? -115. That's a nice deal on FanDuel. I just think they're better. I think you're losing out on home field right there for New Orleans and Green Bay +3.5. We're going to look back on this. I'm like, oh, maybe New Orleans. I don't know. Maybe. And it looks Tom Brady makes. And the other thing, Bri, if this loses, you could be like, oh, my Raiders must have been really good, right? If they
well,
beat
yeah.
up on the Saints. So that's nice. That won't do me any good, but I'll jump on you there, Bri. Packers +3.5, -115 is my sharp tank. Take us away, Brian. What do you got plugged?
At the Brother Bri, ton of stuff this weekend. We have UFC, huge UFC card. I was thinking about that for best bets. So you have the Adesanya Costa fight, which is going to be awesome. You get two championship fights. You get the Reyes Blankovic fight. So I do like, I don't think I would lay the money here with the favorites. I'd probably take the two underdogs in the title fights with Costa and with Blankovic. And just, I think odds are one of those guys will win.
Yeah, the people don't know Costa too much, but he kind of has the air of one of the Diaz brothers. It's like, I don't give a shit. And he just kind of gets it done. And it scares me a little that Adesanya's, what is that, like minus 160 or something? I thought it would be higher. I don't know.
It's even higher. I mean, I had seen like minus 180.
Oh, is it?
Reyes fight, I think, is like a pretty even fight. And Reyes is minus 290. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Former Stony Brook guy. That's another reason I was going to go against him. And I was like, the last time I did that with Weidman, it did not.
Yeah, right.
Did not go well. Yeah. So UFC.
There you go.
My daughter's soccer season starting. So it's good.
Very nice. At the Brother Bri, Parlay Kid. Yeah, I want to get into the college games. And now, and of course, I just read like Notre Dame. Is it Notre Dame Duke canceled? Seven cases. Done. Oh, yep. Wake Forest, right. Notre Dame, Wake Forest, seven. Yep. COVID cases. I just, I got to see it play out a little bit, but we'll hit it. There are big SEC games coming up. We'll hit it soon enough, but doesn't feel right to spend 20 minutes on something that could just go away as soon as we stop recording. Barley Kid, what do you got? You're at the Chalk Talker.
I'm at the Chalk Talker, Sal. Brian and I both won big this past weekend on UFC too.
Yeah.
And we could have even won bigger. I think we both had a parlay where it was like 8 out of 9.
Wow.
So we both lost, and we lost on like a minus 400 guy on the parlay.
No.
So, and we hit 8 out of 9. So, but we still won, still hit pretty well. So I'm looking forward to that. It kind of replaces the golf a little bit maybe this week and gives you something else.
The Parlay Kid has to look for something to replace golf now.
Can you
bite your tongue, Parlay Kid?
Who thought
bite
this
your
ever
tongue.
Would happen? I mean, it's incredible. It really, the golf, there is still something going on in golf. I got some stuff. I'm sure I'm going to put some stuff down on Henrik Stenson to win the Punta Cana Open or something like that this weekend. Okay, is that what it is? Sorry,
I think that's
it.
You got it. You got it.
This is the
right
one. Romo was.
See, how did I even know that?
Romo won an exemption into this one, right? Romo, Tony Romo urged us. I write about this in my book. You can't lose them all. Available at Barnes & Noble right now for pre-release. What do they call that, Jim? Pre-order. But it's coming out in late January. But Tony Romo urged me and my cousin Jimmy, he's like, I'm going to make the cut. I like he got an exemption into this Punta Nest, whatever it is, tournament probably 3 years ago. And we bet on him and we lost. And then not only did we lose, he came in last place and by a good amount. And so we made a trophy for him and shipped him off. Last place, Punta Nesca tournament. There you go. And he has it proudly on his
that's great.
With his Emmys. And I guess he doesn't have Super Bowl rings. But anyway, there you go. But there you go. All right. And what else, Chalk Talk or anything?
That's it. I'm hoping Harry can explain to us a little bit about his colonoscopy.
Oh, let's hear
as he
this,
signs
Harry.
Off here that he had the other day. Some weird stuff going on. Nobody knows anymore with what's happening to Harry.
Well, I don't know.
He couldn't make a pick today because he had just too much going on in his life.
Wow.
I don't know what's happening.
Maybe it's better that nobody knows what's going on. All right, Harry, tell us. Go ahead.
All right, let's see. Let me figure something out here. Okay, so anyways, first, I do want to say before we get to my health, I did get a little revenge on Parlay Kid real quick on in fantasy football, as I kicked his ass in this past week in our league.
He did.
Kicked his ass. Russell Wilson, I drafted in the 7th round. Sal, I got you this week. You're next. by the way, White Sox just got 2 in the 9-2. That's my pick on extra points today, +1.5. So I'll now be 30-11 in my last 41. and also, I had a endoscopy.
Brian hates
I had
this. Brian hates it. Kid obviously hates it, but Brian really hates it too.
I do.
Brian loves it. Brian loves it. And I got
get to the part where you're dying.
I am. Colonoscopy and endoscopy. I had that on the 17th. And then I, for some reason, like after a day and a half, I'm noticing on my left left part of my neck. I've got about a 6 to 8 inch, like someone had sliced my neck, and I didn't even notice it until I saw it in the mirror. And I finally got off the phone right before we went on today with the doctor, and I had to ask him what the hell that was. And he explained that it must have been the he said it, he's never seen it before in his life.
That's good.
That's real good. It had to have been the tube or the wiring that was around my neck that made that cut, which is, you know, great. Thanks.
Wow,
it's healing a little better here. Let me see if I can get a little.
They had it around your neck. They were trying to strangle.
Trying to strangle.
He's trying to show us here. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Whatever.
Are you sure? Anyway, so, are you positive? Like in the middle of the night, you didn't think you were like cutting a slice of ham off and it ended up being your neck instead? No?
Not sure. Okay. But anyways, listen again.
Long story short, also, he's got 3 days to live.
Yeah, that's right. So probably three more picks. So Harry is trying to go 33-11 before he leaves this earth on extrapoints.com with the free picks.
A.O. Harry, find my other picks on bestbetcorner.com, where Parlay Kid and I have our golf picks as well.
All right, there you go. Jim, Jim or Joel, you want to add something? Jim, he'll be sending you a pick tonight. You're excited, right?
Screw you, Jim. Jim, I'm sending it to you at 2 a.m. now, Jim.
I'm good.
The eyes are ones or something
naked,
like that.
Jim. Naked.
All right. There you go. And that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. Watch Fox Bet Live Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and follow us at Extra Points Pod and me at The Cousin Sal. And for the degenerate trifecta, Jim Cunningham, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Nah, nah, nah.